Welcome to Torah Nimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Lynn Kraft, and today we will be learning Eicha Perek Bet, Chapter 2. In yesterday's study of Perek Aleph, Chapter 1, we encounter the Mitkonin's expression of despair and loneliness of Yerushalayim after her destruction. She felt abandoned by Hashem, who had destroyed her. She felt abandoned by her people, who were taken from her. And she felt abandoned by her purported allies, who betrayed her. Let's continue today with Perek Bet, Chapter 2, which can be divided into two sections. The first section is Psukim Aleph through Yud, verses 1 through 10, which are said in third person, during which the Mekonin describes the suffering of Yerushalayim and from the perspective of an objective narrator. And then the second section is Psukim Yud Aleph through Chaf Aleph, verses 11 through 21, where we see a switch to first person, alternating between the first-person perspective of Yerushalayim herself and the first-person perspective of the Mekonin as he addresses Yerushalayim himself. The focus of Perek Bet is on the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, on the loss of the honor and glory of Yerushalayim, on the hunger and the suffering of the people, and all of which result from Hashem's anger. It's a more intense chapter than Perek Aleph, Chapter 1, and expresses much deeper emotions than we saw in the last parak. And its tone really shifts from the loneliness, shame, and despair of Perek Aleph to a tone of shock and anger in Perek Bet. We also see a change from the emphasis on Yerushalayim as victim in Perek Aleph to an emphasis on Hashem as aggressor in Perek Bet. If Perek Aleph could be described as quiet due to Yerushalayim's loneliness and emptiness, Perek Bet is really full of the loud noise of anger-filled destruction. In fact, the Mekonin describes Yerushalayim's physical destruction in various ways. One, its walls have been breached. In Pasuk Chet, we're told, Chashav Hashem lehashrit chomat batzion natakav. Hashem planned to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He stretched a line of destruction. Pasuk Tet, verse 9, Tavu ba'aretz she'areha, her gates sank into the land. Two, its houses and palaces have been destroyed. Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Bila Hashem velo chamal et kol ne'ot Yaakov. Hashem devoured and didn't have mercy upon all the houses of Jacob. Haras be'evrato mivtzarei bat Yehuda. He destroyed in his anger the fortresses of the daughter of Judah. Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Bila kol armenota shichit mitzarav. He devoured all of her palaces, destroyed her fortresses. Three, we're told it's about its political leadership has been dismantled. Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Hilel mamlacha v'sareha. He has profaned a kingdom and its officers. Pasuk Tet, verse 9, Malka v'sareha bagoyim. Her king and her officers are amongst the nations. Four, we're told its people have been killed. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, Shachvu la'aretz chutzot, na'ar v'zakein, on the ground, in the streets, lie young and old. Bitulotai u'bachurai naflu b'charev, my virgins and young men fell by the sword. Harakta biyom apecha, you killed on the day of your anger. Tavachta lo chamalta, you slaughtered and didn't have mercy. Pasuk Chaf Bet, verse 22, V'lo haya biyom af Hashem palit v'sarid. On the day of Hashem's anger, there was no fugitive or survivor. Asher tapachti v'rabiti oivi kilam, those whom I nurtured and raised, my enemy, finished them off. Finally, the focus of the parak, not so surprisingly, is on the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Vayachmos kagan suko, shichet moado. He laid bare like a garden his shelter and destroyed his meeting place. Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Zanach Hashem mizbecho, ni'er mikdasho. Hashem abandoned his altar and rejected his temple. And the Mekonin actually uses many different phrases to refer to the demolished Beit HaMikdash throughout the Perek, really utilizing diverse imagery to capture its essence from many different angles. I think to help us better appreciate what we've lost. He refers to the Beit HaMikdash as Hadom Raglav, his footstool in Pasuk Bet in verse 2, meaning that if Hashem's throne is in heaven, then his Mikdash, his temple in this world, would be considered his footstool. He refers to the Beit HaMikdash as Ohel Bat Zion, the tent of the daughter of Zion in Pasuk Dalet in verse 4, as Sukkot, his sukkah, his dwelling place in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, as Moado, as his meeting place, again in Pasuk Vav in verse 6. He refers to Mizbacho, his altar, in Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, and as Mikdasho, his temple, in Psukim Zayin and Chaf 7 and 20. And perhaps he refers to it as Tiferet Israel, the glory of Israel, in Pasuk Aleph, which is actually similar to a description of the Beit HaMikdash used by Yeshayahu in Perek Samach Dalet in chapter 66 of his book. Not only has the city been physically demolished, as we have just heard, but its physical destruction also led to its spiritual destruction. Firstly, Shabbos and Yantif celebrations have ceased. For instance, in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Shikach Hashem b'tzion moed v'shabbat, Hashem has caused holidays and Shabbos to become forgotten. We also are told that there is no longer any instruction of Torah or experience of Nevuah. In Pasuk Tet, verse 9, in Torah, there is no instruction of Torah. Gam Nevi'eha lo matzu chazon me'Hashem. Also, her prophets didn't find vision from Hashem. And finally, we're told that Kohanim and Nevi'im have been killed. In Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, Im yaharog b'mikdash Hashem, Kohen v'Navi, shall priests and prophets be killed in Hashem's temple? Throughout the Perek, the Mekonin uses various verbs of destruction, verb after verb after verb, further concretizing the devastation of the destruction and, I think, helping the reader feel it more deeply. For instance, we are told, Hishlich mishamayim aretz, he threw down from the heavens to the ground in Pasuk Aleph in verse 1. Bila, he swallowed or devoured in Psukim Bet, Hey, and Chet in verses 2. 5 and 8. Similarly, Bilanu, we devoured in Pasuk Tet Zayin in verse 16. Haras, he removed or tore down in Psukim Bet and Yud Zayin in verses 2 and 17. Higia la'aretz, he brought down to the ground in Pasuk Bet in verse 2. Gada, he cut down in Pasuk Gimel verse 3. Vayiv'ar, he burned in Pasuk Gimel verse 3. Darach kashto, he drew his bow in Pasuk Dalet verse 4. Nitzav yimino, he positioned his right hand, assumedly to shoot, also in Pasuk Dalet verse 4. Vayaharog, and he killed, again in Pasuk Dalet verse 4. Similarly, haragta, you killed, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph verse 21. And yehareg, was killed, in Pasuk Chaf verse 20. Shafach ka'esh k'chamato, he poured his wrath like fire in Pasuk Dalet in verse 4. Shichet, he destroyed, Psukim Hei and Vav in verses 5 and 6. Similarly, lehashchet, to destroy, in Pasuk Chet verse 8. Vayachmos, he laid bare in Pasuk Vav verse 6. Natakav, he stretched a line of destruction, Pasuk Chet verse 8. Ibad, he destroyed, in Pasuk Tet, verse 9. Shibar, he smashed, also in Pasuk Tet, verse 9. Tavachta, you slaughtered, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21. Kilam, he finished them off, in Pasuk Chaf Bet, verse 22. I hope that just in hearing verb after verb after verb, you, as just listening, are given a sense of the vast scope and the comprehensive nature of the destruction described in this parak. The Mekonin also repeatedly describes Hashem's anger. Be'apo, in his anger, in Pasuk Aleph in verse 1. Similarly, Biyomapo, on the day of his anger, also in Pasuk Aleph verse 1. Biyom Apecha, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, and Biyom Af Hashem, Pasuk Chaf Bet, verse 22. Be'evrato, in his wrath, Pasuk Bet, verse 2. Bachari Af, with burning anger, or literally with a smoking nose, Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Chamato, his rage, Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Biza'amapo, in the fury of his anger, Pasuk Vav, verse 6. And so we see a lot, many descriptions of Hashem's anger, throughout the Psukim. We are also given depictions of Hashem's planning the destruction deliberately. In Pasuk Chet, verse 8, Hashav Hashem lahashrit, Hashem planned to destroy. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, Asa Hashem asher zamam, Hashem did as he planned. Bitsa imrato asher tziva mimi kedem, he fulfilled his word that he commanded from days of old. What's interesting is that throughout the Perek, we're told about Hashem's role in the destruction in two different ways. Some phrases describe Hashem as stepping back to let the enemy in, as if he's removing his special protection from Yerushalayim so that the Bavlim can come forward and destroy it. For instance, in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Heshiv achor yimino mipnei oyev, he withdrew his right hand from before the enemy. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Hiskir biyad oyev chomot armenoteha, he gave into the hands of the enemy the walls of her palaces. While other phrases describe Hashem as acting as the enemy himself. Pasuk Dalid, for instance, verse 4, Darach kashto ke'oyev, nitzav yimino katzar. He drew his bow like an enemy, he poised his right hand like a foe. And in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Haya Hashem ke'oyev, Hashem became like the enemy. Dr. Yael Ziegler notes that realistically and theologically, we know that the first description is what must have actually occurred, that Hashem kind of drew himself back in order to let the enemy in. But the second describes the people's perception of what happened. They're feeling as though Hashem himself was acting as their enemy. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, the perspective shifts to that of Yerushalayim's, who starts out by describing her visceral response to her people's suffering. For instance, Pasuk Yud Aleph, we said, Kalu bidma'ot einai, chamarmaru me'ai, the tears in my eyes have finished, my innards churn. Nishpach la'aretz kvedi al shever batami. My liver has spilled onto the ground over the breaking of the daughter of my nation. And here we see that as opposed to the first half of the perek, which focuses on the punishments endured by the nation's leadership, in the second half of the perek, Yerushalayim now describes the horrible suffering of the people of Bnei Israel that they themselves experienced during the famine at the time of the siege, especially focusing on the children. In order to help us understand why she has reacted so strongly that her tears have dried up and her insides churns and have basically spilled out onto the ground. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, she explains it as follows, Be'atef olel v'yonik berachovot kirya, when children and nursing infants faint in the town squares. And she continues in Pasuk Yud Bet, Li'imotam, verse 12, Li'imotam yomru ayei dagan v'yayin, to their mothers they said, where is the grain and wine? Behitatzfam kachalal berchovot ir, as they faint like corpses in the city squares. Behishtapech nafsham elchik imotam, when their life is poured out in their mother's embrace. And these two psukim actually make up the center of Perek Bet, during which Yerushalayim focuses on the suffering and death of innocent children. So in contrast to Perek Aleph blaming the destruction on the people's sins, Perek Bet really seems to claim the opposite, that no innocent child can be considered deserving of this end, and it just seems cruel and inexplicable. After these two psukim in which we hear Yerushalayim's voice come to the fore, Yerushalayim stops speaking, almost as if she's run out of words after describing the horrible suffering and hunger experienced by the children of her people. And so the next several psukim switch to the Mekonen's first-person perspective, in which he tries to convince Yerushalayim to speak again, asking her how he can comfort her, and finally begging her to cry out to Hashem. So in Pasuk Yotet in verse 19, Kumi roni balaila l'rosh ashmiro, get up, cry out in the night at the start of the night watch. Shifchi kamayim libech nochach pnei Hashem, pour out your heart like water facing Hashem. Si'i elav kapayech al nefesh olalayech, raise to him your palms for the lives of your children, which is a prayerful stance. Ha'atufim bara'av b'rosh kol chutzot, who faint from hunger at the head of every street. And ironically, the Mekonen utilizes the very image of the death of young children, which had caused Yerushalayim to stop speaking in the first place, in order to convince her that she must speak again. And interestingly, the Shoresh of Shin Fei Chaf, Shafach, features throughout this dialogue between the Yerushalayim and the Mekonen. First, Yerushalayim speaks of how her insides spill out, Nishpach Le'eretz Kvedi, due to the spilling out of her children's lives, Behishtapech Nafsham. And then the Mekonen responds by begging Yerushalayim to spill out her heart to Hashem. In response, Shifchi Kamayim Libech Nochach Pnei Hashem. And according to Dr. Gabriel Cohn's analysis of the chaotic structure of Perek Bet, this fourth-to-last pasuk of the Perek actually corresponds to the fourth pasuk of the Perek because of their sheer chorish of Shin Fei Chaf. Because in Pasuk Dalid, verse 4, Hashem's anger is described as spilling out like fire, Shafach Ka'esh Chamato. Dr. Yael Ziegler notes that perhaps the Mekonen here is suggesting to Yerushalayim that if she spills out her heart to Hashem like water, Shifchi Kamayim Libech Nochach Pnei Hashem, it will have the power to extinguish the anger of Hashem that has been spilling out like fire, Shafach Ka'esh Chamato. Right after the Mekonen's plea for Yerushalayim to resume speaking, Yerushalayim does so in the last three psukim of the perek, in psukim chaf through chafbet, verses 20 through 22, describing her utter shock at the horrors that her people have suffered, the deaths of children at the hands of their own mothers, the deaths of kohanim, of neviim, of young, of old, with no survivors. And the two main theological questions in this perek are, how can Hashem destroy his own mikdash? How could he destroy his own temple? And also, how can Hashem be so cruel to his own people? How could it be that there's no rachamim for Bnei Yisrael? As Yerushalayim describes the situation in Pasuk Chaf Aleph in verse 21, Tavachta lo chamalta, you have slaughtered and did not have mercy. And as opposed to Perek Aleph, which focuses on the sins of Bnei Yisrael that have led to the destruction, Perek Bet seems to be arguing that the punishment seems much harsher than the crime itself, and Bnei Yisrael have been made to suffer too much. Rabbi Chaim Angel notes that perhaps this is reflected in the slight deviation from the Aleph Bet order that we find in the Psukim of Perek Bet, because the Ayin and the Pei are reversed. In our known Aleph Bet order, Ayin precedes Hey, and yet in Perek Bet, the Pei Pasuk precedes the Ayin Pasuk. Now, on a pshat level, this could be attributed to the Aleph Bet order not having yet been set at the time. We do see a deviation of Ayin and Pei in other instances in Tanakh as well, in which case a deviation wouldn't be considered significant. However, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Dalet Amad Bet attributes a deeper significance to this switch. And the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rava said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Bishvil ma hikdim pei la'ayin? Why does pei come before ayin? Bishvil miraglim sha'amru b'fihem ma shelo ra'u be'enehem. Because of the miraglim who spoke with their mouths what they didn't yet see with their eyes. Rabbi Angel explains that perhaps the Gemara here does seem to be suggesting that the Hebrew letter pei, which is, if spelled out completely, is spelled pei-hei, which means mouth. And the Hebrew letter pei comes before the ayin in Perek Bet. Ayin, if spelled out completely, is spelled out as ayin yud nun, which means I. Because just like the meraglim, the mekonin in Perek Bet placed his mouth, in other words, what he said, before his eye, in other words, before what he saw. And perhaps this means that in Perek Bet, the mekonin responded immediately to the destruction, expressing his raw emotion spontaneously. As opposed to in Perek Aleph, wherein the author first saw, then reflected, and only afterwards put his thoughts into words in a more calculated response, which is reflected by its intact alphabet acrostic. And so Rabbi Chaim Angel suggests that because the ayin and pei being in the wrong position, so to speak, may reflect the greater emotion, the deeper emotions expressed in this perek, in that the mekonin is placing his ayin, his peh, I should say, before his eye, and his mouth before his eye. He's just speaking before he really thinks about it. And so far, we have seen in our study of Perek of Megillat Eicha is two different theological responses to the Chorban, which each represent two equally valid responses to tragedy in Jewish tradition. In Perek Aleph, in chapter 1, we're told that Bnei Yisrael sinned and were therefore deserving of their destruction. And this approach can help us understand why the Chorban happened. Whereas in Perek Bet, we're given the sense that Hashem killed innocent people in his anger and he destroyed Yerushalayim harshly without recourse to his rachamim, an approach which reflects more of a lack of understanding, and the extent of the destruction remains inexplicable to us. And as we'll continue as we go on, but both of these are legitimate responses to tragedy in the Jewish tradition. Thank you for studying together the Eloi Nishmat Rose Forman, Rachel Rachel Bat Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.